Converging Paths podcast is sponsored by Darkwood Brew, www.darkwoodbrew.org, having produced the world's largest set of progressive Christian resources, all from one setting. Darkwood Brew is actually making its entire 28-series library available to the entire world for free right now because of the pandemic. If you have a small group or you just simply want to study a different vision for Christianity than maybe is represented in a lot of churches these days, check out darkwoodbrew.org and you can get on and get access free of charge for the next 60 days at least. I'm Eric Elness, the host of Converging Paths. You are actually experiencing the revitalization of a podcast that started a couple years ago and kind of went dark for a bit. But you know what? I was diagnosed COVID-19 positive. Yeah, I was last week. And I'm the member of I am the senior minister of a 1,300 member congregation in Omaha, Nebraska, and just come back from Spain and ended up exposing about 30 or so people to the virus, putting them at risk of having it and putting them into quarantine. I myself am doing this podcast from my home in quarantine in a makeshift studio. Something particularly interesting about these people who are in quarantine, they are Christians, Jews, and Muslims. Because I'm the minister of a Christian church who is the Christian partner on the Tri-Faith Commons in Omaha, where a church, a synagogue, and a mosque have all co-located to 135-acre commons to move beyond interfaith dialogue into interfaith community. So when I came back, I unwittingly put at risk 30 or so people from all three of the major Abrahamic faiths. And so during this podcast, you know, sometimes we're going to hear some thoughts from me as somebody who's directly quarantined and have the virus myself. And other times we'll hear from people, maybe a Christian, a Jew, a Muslim, or all three, or some combination thereof, who are also exploring this Darkwood journey from quarantine or from other aspects of life. People have lost jobs and what to do then, and spiritual directors and so forth. So it's going to be a really rich mixture of wisdom and insight, hopefully, that we're gaining each day. You know, there's never been a there's only been three global pandemics in human history. This is the third one. So none of us know exactly what we're doing. We're all walking through this together. I hope you'll join us in that walk every day at the Converging Paths podcast. Today, we're going to actually listen to a 15-minute segment of the very sermon I preached on March 15th. That's just a few days ago on Sunday morning, informing the congregation of my condition. Many of them, most of them, are hearing this for the very first time in just simply a streaming worship video because we'd already locked down the campus. And you're going to hear me revealing my story, why you should be both comforted by my condition and also more concerned about the need for quarantine because of people like me. And you'll hear thoughts about this effects on me and others and where we ought to go from here. So give it a listen. And this particular podcast episode is dedicated specifically to those who I affected and put into quarantine. You, yourselves, your family members who may also be in quarantine because you are now, those of you who are missing work and financial opportunities, and those of you who are undergoing COVID-19 tests right now, this is dedicated to you specifically. Now, but just before we begin, I need to make one clarification. I made a misstatement in the sermon where I said that that my COVID-19 test came back positive at 11 o'clock on Thursday night last week, but it was actually Friday night. Okay, that's it. Everything else is perfectly accurate. Let's listen.
Morning, folks. As you can see, a little different context. I'm actually filming this at about 7 o'clock this morning. It was got to be up to midnight last night. I was pretty loopy by then, running on basically just adrenaline. So, but welcome to our worship this morning, and it's good to see you virtually. I know you're there, or will be there shortly once we're online. I'll be there, sitting there, watching this with you, actually. So, welcome. So, for this first part of the message, and by the way, thank you, Chris, for those announcements, and thank you to Steve Hess and crew who are currently in the sanctuary streaming this out, and thank you to all the staff who have helped put this together and lay leadership as well. I really appreciate your help. And thank you also to our tri-faith leadership too. I have been tremendously supported by the clergy and tri-faith staff, as well as informed by them all. And so is our whole congregation right now. So in any case, I want to do this first message of two. I want to just kind of give you a rundown of what's happened, both for me personally, and then how we're also responding to as a church to this this global pandemic we're in. And then I want to offer in a second reflection more of a sermonic or pastoral reflection there. By the way, if you do not have communion elements and you'd like to participate in an online communion with us at the end of this, towards the end of the service, I invite you to find your bread and have wine or bread and water or juice or crackers, or just find some elements there that are meaningful to you and have them on hand, because we'll be participating in that together as we did for 5 years at Darkwood Brew. So what has happened? Obviously, you saw in the leader that I have been tested positive for COVID-19, the coronavirus. So here's what led to this point. It's this. As you know, I went to Spain. And by the way, throughout this entire process, I have followed the CDC guidelines about as rigidly as a fundamentalist Christian follows the Bible. So we left for Spain. Spain was not a known hotspot at the time. There were no travel restrictions for going there. Obviously, we learned after getting back what Spain's true case was, but that was not evident when I left or during the trip. However, my wife and myself, as well as other people who were traveling with us, practiced very strict sanitation practices, washing our hands constantly, we had wipes and Purell and all that good stuff. And by the way, I had a wonderful time. I'll be telling you a little bit about that in the second part. But got back and had no symptoms whatsoever. Still, Spain was not on the hot list at the time. That would be a couple days after getting back before it would be. But had no symptoms whatsoever. As you can tell, if you think I look fine right now, I am fine. The worst symptom I had was on Wednesday afternoon. I noticed I was developing just a slight but persistent cough, which is very typical for me during allergy season. So I didn't think much of it, except I was also aware, when it wasn't going away, which would also be normal, I also was aware that I had traveled abroad. And by that time, I had some of the data about Spain had come out, and that Madrid being one of the hot spots, I thought I need to call a hotline and see if I should do something, especially since I'm the minister of a large church and I don't want to infect anybody. So Thursday morning I went in, I called first thing, and they said yes, because I had one symptom on the list and had traveled abroad, then that would trigger a self-quarantine and being tested. And so I took the test that afternoon, but from that point on, Thursday morning, I have not had contact with anybody other than my wife. But the whole time, just one symptom. And that's all I've ever had. When they took my test, they noticed a slightly elevated heart rate, but that's it. No fever, no nausea, no headaches, no achiness, nothing other than a slight cough, like I'd have it, like an allergy, and that slightly elevated heart rate. So this should be, if you see how well I'm doing, that should tell you a couple of things. One, I hope you'll take comfort that as we face the future, which will likely get pretty nasty pretty fast, we're likely far more infected around us than anybody guesses. But you can receive this virus, and you remember that 80% of us will be like me, have mild symptoms. I have had utterly mild symptoms. In fact, that's a source of comfort, but also should be a source of concern, because the only reason why I was told to get tested was because I traveled abroad and had that one symptom. Now, think of how many people have been abroad and did not exercise an overabundance of caution as I did. Had I not been the leader of a large community, I don't know if I would have thought, you know, as much about it as I did. So I decided to weigh on the side of caution, and turned out that proved to be the right thing. But think about all the people who have come into this country from anywhere who maybe haven't. Why would you, right? So we shouldn't be casting blame on these people. This is a very new environment here, okay? But here's the other thing. Now think about how many people have been infected then, who didn't go abroad. They've been infected through somebody who has been, but now they if they have symptoms like me, all they've got is maybe a little cough. And they call the hotline or whatever, and that still wouldn't trigger a quarantine. Just one symptom like that without having been abroad, at least as I'm currently aware, would not trigger a quarantine. So think of all the people who are having just mild symptoms, maybe cough, maybe a little runny nose, maybe a little nausea, maybe a slight fever, but haven't been abroad and yet are infected with the coronavirus. So I don't say this to scare you. I say this to have you get sharp. We need to realize that, in the words of a good friend of mine, Fred Avis, reality is our friend. That's also a good line from Michael Dowd, another good friend. Reality is our friend. So whether life is difficult or easy is not what's going to cause us stress. It's the unknown that causes us stress. So knowing that life is going to be difficult, just know it. It's going to get difficult soon. It already should be. We already should be far more quarantined than we are. And so if there's any blessing in this situation, I hope that this will get us all clamped down and really thinking through what we're doing and why we're doing it when we go outdoors or go in any kind of public space. Right now, the U.S. is far beyond where Wuhan province was when they implemented very strict quarantine measures, okay? So you should, what I've been doing is thinking, I've been applying the Wuhan province filter to my own thinking before I got quarantined, that is, which is, if this were happening in Wuhan province, would I go out and do this or would I do that? If my answer is no, then I ask myself, well, why am I thinking about doing it? Is there an absolute need to do that? You should be thinking this very same thing. Now, so that's my update. I was diagnosed then at about 11 o'clock. I received the diagnosis at 11 o'clock Thursday night and was asked to not disclose anything yet until the Douglas County Public Health could contact me, get a list of names of everybody I've had a significant contact with, and then inform them. And of course, there's a huge backlog right now too. So that took basically until yesterday, Saturday afternoon, before all those people were informed. And at that point, then I started to inform more people, and intend obviously to, I'm informing you this morning, so we all know about this. Now that you're all informed, I do plan to be very public about my condition, hoping that more people can learn from the experience. One of the things that's done for us, actually even before I had any kind of diagnosis, we've at Countryside Church, the staff and lay leadership, we've been working, ever since coming back from Spain, we've been working constantly on how can we best prepare our congregation for the worst, it's not a matter of if it's coming, but when it's coming. So we've been working literally night and day on putting systems in place. And before I was diagnosed as COVID-19, we were all thinking we could withstand the accusation of being, like overly scared or over-preparing and, overthinking all this. But what we figured was, hopefully we are, but we know it's coming. So if we clamp down now and overcorrect, then we will be like a well-oiled machine when things really get nasty. As it turns out, our overcorrection wasn't any kind of overcorrection. So we are now, we are working as fast as we can, but we're also ahead of the game in many respects. We're planning a lot of online gatherings through Zoom. All of our committee leaders or board leaders will be given Zoom accounts, and we're going to be learning how to use Zoom. I hope you'll learn to use Zoom as soon as you can, because that's going to become a primary mode of communication, a remote communication for us, as well as things like, say, Facebook Live and our live stream. So that's in order. Learn Zoom. Our committee chairs will be given accounts, and so they can use Zoom. Our staff as well, and we'll be using those for most meetings. Most of our staff is under quarantine right now. Okay, so we really are forced into a situation where we have to learn this quickly, but also it means that we are learning on a very fast clip how to communicate very effectively with one another without having to be in physical presence. So, as much as we talk about technology and the headaches of it, technology is also our friend right now, a big friend. Your phone, your cell phone is also a big friend right now. As much as we complain about people like being on the screen, blah, 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 well, this is now the time to be on the screen, to be learning things, to be receiving information. You can, I think, get Zoom on your phone, but just go to zoom.com or look at that email that was sent out to the congregation. There's a tutorial there. And as I mentioned, I'll be doing podcasting. I'm going to create also a spiritual guide to this global pandemic in the coming days. As I'm quarantined here, I'll be doing a lot of writing. I'm linking, the CDC is also going to be your friend. Look at those practices that they're recommending. You should treat that like the Bible. And I'm very serious about this. They say in the perennial traditions, cleanliness is next to godliness. So already in the spiritual traditions, they knew this. The CDC is showing us how to be clean and safe right now. So I'm not a public health official. The CDC is. Follow their guidelines to the letter. And I'll be developing spiritual practices around each of those practices, because a lot of them happen to actually already interface with the perennial traditions. As I mentioned in the email, during the 14th century plague, I put 16th century, that was a typo, the plague, the Black Death in the 14th century, there were actually pogroms against the Jewish community because they were surviving the Black Death in far greater numbers than anybody else. And so people figured there must have been a Jewish plot. It was not a Jewish plot. It had to do with their spiritual practices around hygiene. And so what we're looking at right now is that we have a lot, everything around you has obviously unseen danger from the possibility of a virus, but also everything around you is full and infused with God. So God is also around you, capably to be found. So just as you're trying to increase your awareness of the dangers that are all around you and mitigate against them, you should also be aware of the presence of the living God that is all around you as well, and capable and willing to help you and guide you, provide you strength in this process. So that's why linking spiritual practices to these sanitary practices and safety practices is a very wise thing. And it all comes together then, the physical, the spiritual, in a whole. I'll have much more to say about that later. But bottom line, we should be looking at this now for the next 60 days at least, as in a sense a spiritual retreat, an opportunity to find God. It's a spiritual retreat we never signed up for, but yet treat this as seriously as your spiritual self, as seriously as you do your sanitary self, and I promise you, my friends, you will find God in this pandemic. Whatever happens to you in the future, most likely you'll be part of the 80%, like me so far, right? But there will also be people who are not. You may be one of them. But I promise you, if you will be open to being blessed during this time, you will find blessing. If you will open yourself up to the Holy Spirit, you will find blessing whether you can feel the Holy Spirit at any given time or not. You will. I promise you, when we move through, as we move through this, you will find your God in surprising ways, providing help through ways that you would never imagine. That's been my constant story since getting back. And I'm going to help do, and the staff at Countryside Church, as well as our Tri-Faith partners, they are affected by this too. I had significant contact with Tri-Faith, all Tri-Faith leadership, basically. So we're on the Tri-Faith Commons. We're all in this together. We're all clamped down together. So again, the fact that we're all isolating like this, but communicating and connecting, means we will probably be far more safe during this crisis than most communities. That's why I'm going to go so public. I don't want us to be safer than most communities. I want all of us to be safe. But I promise you, we're doing everything we can to make sure that you stay safe and that we stay connected so that we isolate the virus, not our people. We will make mistakes. None of us has ever led a group of people through a global pandemic. There's only been three in history, this being the third one. So this is quite unique. You and I are in a highly distinct place in world history. We can either choose to cower in fear or choose this as our time to rise. I believe the Spirit of the living God has chosen this to be our time to rise. More about this in a moment.
Music for this podcast is by Nomalee Brennett, who created a song, Dark Wood, specifically for Dark Wood Brew, and you're hearing a little funky acoustic version of the theme song. We're going to go out with the full version of Nomalee's actual Dark Wood theme song. See you tomorrow. Stumbled upon